Thanks so much for joining us on this edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Lou Anne Crane, here with our host, psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson, and his son, Ryan Dobson. And Dr. and Ryan, today we're going to hear a powerful presentation from a gentleman who I know means a great deal to both of you.
That's absolutely true, Lou Anne. We have the privilege today of hearing from Josh McDowell. He's a highly respected friend of mine. He's been a guest on our program before, along with his son, Sean. And for many years, Josh has been speaking on college campuses to young adults trying to deal with the big questions of life. When he was young, he perceived Christianity as useless and false. But for several decades now, he's been telling people about Jesus Christ and his work as an evangelist and a writer. Yeah, he's a great speaker and a Christian apologist. And again, I said it before, I'll say it again, I respect this man highly.
I do too. I've gotten to speak at a couple of events with Josh, and he is riveting. Today's program will be much of the same. He is also the founder and director of Josh McDowell Ministries. He's authored many, many books, over 115 author or co-authored books, including his most recent bestseller, The Unshakable Truth, which he co-authored with Sean. What we're going to hear today is a message he gave at a chapel service here in Colorado Springs not long ago, where he spoke about his concern for the upcoming generation of young people.
Well, the message we're going to hear today was really intended primarily for parents of those young people. I was in the audience that day, and I'll tell you, I was among those who gave him a standing ovation. People were entertained, but deeply moved by what he had to say.
And, Doctor, I just want to point out that it's a great time for listeners to hear this message right before Father's Day coming up on Sunday. I think very quickly you will see this connection as Josh gets into that topic. So here now on Family Talk is Mr. Josh McDowell.
If ever you have felt strategic, you will when I finish. In the Word of God, David made, in the New Living Translation, a phenomenal statement when he said, I've been constantly aware of your unfailing love, and I have lived according to the truth. Folks, hear me. If any faith is based upon truth, it is a Christian faith. If any faith believes in truth to propagate truth, it is the Christian faith. When Jesus said, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. When we let truth slip, we've been gutted. When we let our kids walk away from truth, we have been gutted. And that's a good farm terminology. I want to show you where our young people are in the most evangelical church. When I use the term born again in research, you don't come out and say, well, you're born again. You get a skewed answer. You ask six questions as you resolve the questions you categorize. The categorized for the use of my term born again would be a teenager in an evangelical church who would say, I have personally trusted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And if I were to die today, I know I'd go to heaven because he is my Savior and he's forgiven me my sins. Now, come on, folks. That's a pretty tight category. When I refer to truth, it's what most people refer to as absolute truth. I don't like that term. I like universal. It's that which is true for all people in all places at all times. When Jesus said, I am the truth, he didn't mean it for just the Jews before him. He meant it for all people in all places at all times. In other words, it's truth that external over against internal, objective over against subjective. When it comes to truth and the part of our born-again church young people, in 1991, 52% said there is no truth. That's over half. Do you get it? That's over half saying there is no truth apart from me. In 1994, that jumped to 62%. In 1999, it escalated to 78% of born-again church young people saying there is no absolute truth. Do you know what it is now? Oh, folks, one of the most staggering statistics in the history of the church. A staggering 91% of born-again church young people say there is no absolute moral standard. There is no truth apart from myself. Take it from some other research coming the other way. Research will show that of all teenagers in America, born-again, non-born-again, only 6% will say there's any truth apart from themselves. Of non-born-again young people, 4%. Of born-again young people, 9%. In other words, between a born-again evangelical church young person and a secular kid around the church is only 5% difference. Now, let me show you how critical that is. In 1995, of all born-again church young people confronted with the statement, the Bible is the infallible word of God and true in every situation, only 10% agreed with that. You know what it is now? Under 4%. Now, folks, you hear me. If we don't reverse that, you mark my word, within 60 months, it'll be under 1%. It's dropping that fast. Now, what affects a child's beliefs? I've struggled with that for 9 years. As an apologist, as a person who loves truth, I have struggled with that. And about 12, 13 months ago, the lights came on. I want to take you to a diagram. This diagram is a making of a young person. It's the pyramid. The top of the pyramid is a young person's behavior. That's kind of like the iceberg where you see the part above the water. The biggest part of the iceberg is underneath. Well, the rest of the pyramid is underneath the visual sight. The question is, what drives a young person's behavior? It's the second part of the pyramid, their values. Our values drive our behavior. But the million-dollar question is, what forms our values? It's the third part of the pyramid, our beliefs. Men and women, our beliefs form our values that drive our behavior. Now, the $25 million question that I have struggled with for 9 years is this: what engenders our beliefs? What encourages a child to believe even true? It's not what I thought it would be. It's not what most of you think it is. It's the whole foundation of the pyramid. It's relationships. Relationships engenders beliefs that forms our values that drives our behavior. David said, I've been constantly aware of your unfailing love. Not once a month, once a week, a couple times a day. No, I've been constantly aware of your unfailing love. What'd that do to him? And I've lived according to your truth. I can stand before you and tell you this. If David had not seen and been aware of that unfailing love, he never, ever would have lived according to the truth. And even then he stumbled. Paul said in Ephesians 4, teach the truth. Isn't that what we want to do? We want not only our pastor to teach the truth, we want, as parents, we want to teach the truth to our kids in a way that they'll grasp it and it'll transform. But what's the key? Paul said, teach the truth in love. You that are fathers here, let me talk to you and grandfathers. I can tell you this. You can be the greatest explainer of truth in the whole world. You can be the greatest illustrator, like some of the men that are here that I'm humbled to stand before many of my peers right here today. You could be the greatest explainer of truth, the greatest preacher of truth, the greatest illustrator of truth. But I'll tell you this, Daddy and Grandpa. If in the very heart of your son or daughter does not believe, my daddy loves me, they'll walk away from your truth. They'll walk away from your truth. Truth without relationships, the very truth of God's word, truth without relationships leads to rejection. Or a phrase I'm known for in parenting, rules without relationships leads to rebellion. Kids respond to truth in the context of a loving, intimate relationship. For I'm constantly aware of your unfailing love, and I lived according to truth. Dartmouth Medical School, along with several other organizations, commissioned a study to be done. What they did was examine over 200 scientific studies of young people. Like 257, I think it was. 200 and some studies of young, I didn't know there were that many, and I'm a researcher. And then they commissioned their own study to be done. When they released the study, it was called Hardwired to Connect. The subtitle was called The New Scientific Case for Authoritative Communities. Now, when I saw authoritative community with my lifestyle, I went, But you know what it means? Right in the front, in the first or second page, they describe what it means. Authoritative community is any group of young people, one or two young people, say with a father, with any adult who has responsibility to them, that's an authoritative community. A Sunday school class, a small group, a pastor with a church, a youth pastor, me with my children is an authoritative community. That's the way they defined it. And this is what they said. Now listen carefully. All, not 50%, not 90, not 95, all scientific research shows that from the moment a baby is born, now you think of this. They said all scientific research shows that that baby's brain is literally formed physically and biologically to connect in relationships. Not emotionally, not spiritually, physically. Whew. Does that take nurture and nature out of a different level of argument? And it says all scientific research shows that. And he went on to say, you want to pass your values and truth on to your authoritative community, whether you're a father, a mother, a single mom, single dad, whatever, a pastor, a youth pastor, a small group leader. Said, you want to pass your values and truth on to those young people, a professor in a class? They said, scientific research shows there must be two ingredients. Number one, you must develop a loving, intimate connection or relationship with that young person, or they'll walk away from your truth and values. No wonder David said, I've been constantly aware of your unfailing love, and I've lived according to your truth. Second, they said, you want to pass your values on? You want to pass the truth on that you want to see ingrained in a young person? Then he said, you must model that very truth in the presence of that child or value, or they'll walk away from it. It's truth in the context of relationships. No one, Jesus said, I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. When Paul said, my children, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. Model the truth. Finally, science is starting to catch up with the Bible. I'm constantly aware of your unfailing love, and I've lived according to the truth. Columbia University, after Columbine, commissioned a study to be done. They wanted to find out, it was a very expensive study, they wanted to find out how family structure between a single-parent family headed by a mother and a two-parent biological family headed by the father and mother, how it affected a child's involvement in drugs and alcohol, and it could be extrapolated out to violence. When they released the study, this is what it showed. A child raised in a single-parent home where the mother is the head is 30% more likely to go into drugs, alcohol, and violence. Now, as a researcher, that's one high percentage. But for a child raised in a two-parent biological family, but there's a fair-to-poor relationship with the father, is 68% more likely, over twice as likely, to go into drugs, alcohol, and violence, according to the study, than a child raised in a single-parent home with a mother's head. Do you know what it is for a child raised in a two-parent biological home, but there's a good to excellent relationship with the father? You have to state it in the negative because of the way the norm was established. That child is 94% less likely to ever go into drugs, alcohol, or violence. In other words, it's possible, totally improbable. Please hear me, folks. It's not just the structure. Now, don't get me wrong. Oh, I believe in a two-parent structure. But here's where the church has failed. We have emphasized the structure to the preclusion of the relationship within the structure. And I believe the relationship within the structure is as powerful as the structure. It's relationships that engenders young people to want to believe. Johns Hopkins Medical School, one of the finest in the world, I believe, because of their research. And they wanted to find out if they could find a predictive factor. If they could look at a young person and say, if this is true in a young person's life, they have a greater potential. It doesn't mean they're going to have these things, but a greater potential for five things. Five things they wanted to see. One, mental illness. Second, hypertension. Third, malignant tumor. Fourth, coronary heart disease. Fifth, suicide. Could they look at a young person and say, if this is true in a young person's life, they have a much higher probability of one of these five things when they grow up? The study lasted 30 years. 1,377 graduates of Johns Hopkins Medical School, done by Dr. Thomas and Dwazinski. After 30 years of research, could they find a common cause? The most significant predictor they found was the lack of closeness to one's parents. I thought, come on. That's ridiculous. And I'm the type of person, I got to have answers. So I called Johns Hopkins. And they gave me contact with the researchers. It took them 3 minutes to convince me why it was true. It's something that every one of you have in your life. Every one of you do. Every one of you have faced this already this morning. Each one of you handle it differently, sometimes good, sometimes bad, that has a potential towards all five of these things. What is it? Stress. Stress. And they found that a child raised in a very loving, intimate environment, as they grow up, can handle stress so much better in their life. Wow. It's relationships that are so critical A young man, 12 to 14 years old, or a young girl who does not have a loving, close, intimate relationship at home, especially with a father, research now shows us 300% more likely to attempt suicide. A 15 to 16-year-old, 400% more likely to attempt suicide. You want to understand a little bit of Michael Jackson? In an interview, he said that when his parents started the Jackson 5, he was, 5 years old? And in the first rehearsal they had, something went wrong, and he turned and he said, "Daddy," and his father stopped and said, "I am not your daddy, I am your manager." And Michael said, "I never, ever forgot that." And then several years ago, he was speaking in Oxford, England, to 800 university students and professors. He was speaking on the foundation he had formed called Help the Children. A lot of jokes go out about that. About 12 to 13 minutes into the talk, he started to cry, and then he started to weep profusely, and he couldn't talk. They said the audience was very uneasy. Finally, a young man got up and took him up a box of tissue, and finally, the king of pop got his composure. And he said, "All I've ever wanted in life was a father's love. All I ever wanted is for my father to call me and say, 'Michael, I love you.' And he never has." It's relationships that engenders beliefs, that forms our values, that drives our behavior. Many people like Michael Jackson has never grown up with the privilege of seeing that unfailing love, where, "Mom, Dad, I want to live according to your truth. Pastor, I see that unfailing love. I want to live according to your truth. Sunday school teacher, I see your unfailing love. I want to live according to your truth." I get a lot of letters from teenagers. I get thousands of letters from teenagers. Almost all of them have to do with relationships and being a daddy. Now, why would that be? Well, because at my age, when I started ministry, the Dead Sea was only sick. I've been working with teenagers since the Statue of Liberty was a little girl. When you walk out and there's a high-energy band out there, boy, you better have something to say, and you better connect real fast, or you just lost 8,000 kids. So I walk out, and I chit-chat a moment and say, "I'm not going to give a talk," and you thank God nobody applauds. So "I'm not going to give a talk. I'm not going to give a speech." And you all kind of look around. So what I want to do tonight is share my heart as a daddy. And then I point out to the audience, way up in the tops of the arenas, and I said, "I wish you could be my daughter, my son. I wish I could be your daddy. You could be my son." "That's right, kid. I wish I could be yours, too. I wish I could be your daddy, your father." And it's unbelievable. Guys all over start waving their hands. And then about 2.5 years ago, they start yelling out, "I want to be your son. Be my daddy." You know what's happening now? It's uncanny. They're starting to stand up. Like in Birmingham, a number of weeks ago, over 100 guys stood up in the Hewitt Arena, started waving their hands and yelling out, "I want to be your son." Folks, you hear me. The most powerful platform to influence kids in every culture of the world is not as a rock star, as powerful as that is, not as a great athlete, as powerful that is, or a politician, or a movie actor, actress. The most powerful platform is as a daddy. There's hardly a kid in the world that doesn't want to hear the heart of a daddy. And this letter here is a typical letter, not atypical. Because it'd be unfair for me to use it if it was atypical. "Dear Josh, when I heard you speak, you talked about God loving me. You said that Jesus Christ is a friend of teenagers like me. It's hard to believe that." Why? It's the truth. God loves her. Christ is a friend of a teenager. But why can't she believe it? Why can't she believe it? Because the evidence isn't there? No. Because she hasn't heard it? No. Why can't she believe it? She says, "When no one else cares about me, I want to love others, but I don't know how." Jennifer at 15 had never seen that unfailing love, and it was hard for her to believe the truth. Our behavior is driven by our values, that is formed by our beliefs, that is engendered by our relationships.
Dad and Luann, that last sentence may be one of the most powerful ones he speaks in this two-day series. I mean, think about those words and the implications on every person's life.
He summarized his entire message, and we've only heard half of it now, but he summarized it with those words. Read it one more time.
Our behavior is driven by our values, that is formed by our beliefs, that is engendered by our relationships. That role of a parent, and especially of a father, is so important. We've been listening to Josh McDowell here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, and I think our listeners will feel the same way about that sentence that we do here, Dad.
Well, as I said at the top of the program, I was there in the audience that day when this message was delivered, and we were captivated by what Josh had to say. I mean, as the old saying goes, you could have heard a pin drop. He was also reinforcing what our ministry is all about. We care about the family, not just about its structure, but about the vital relationships that take place within the family. And from that comes an understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
I've said this many times. Maybe some of our listeners have heard it. But we refer to a red blood cell. Many people don't know what the function of a red blood cell is. It's to carry a globule of oxygen to various parts of the body. Well, the family is the red blood cell for the gospel. If you get things right within the family, it is easier to carry the good news to other people. And Josh does that so well. And we're going to hear the other half of this presentation tomorrow.
And, Doctor, I'm not even a father, and I'm already looking forward to that.
But you're married to one.
Absolutely. And I had one. It's a good thing to point out here that Josh McDowell has a wonderful book called The Father Connection that helps you dads build a relationship with your children. Ask about that as well as other parenting resources when you call us here at Family Talk, 877-732-6825, or, of course, online at drjamesdobson.org.
Luann, I like that you said that. When you call us.
When?
It's not if. You're going to get in trouble sometime. When you're a parent, there are days that you wake up and you think, I don't know what I'm doing. That's when you call us or go online to our website. We've got a ton of resources.
Luann, I'm looking at the clock, and I see that we've got a minute or two where I can make an announcement.
We finally saved some time for you, Doctor.
Thank you. On the 22nd of June, on a Friday, and Saturday the 23rd, and a week later, Friday, June 29, and Saturday, June 30th, we are preparing a DVD series in front of what I hope is a huge crowd of people at Dr. Jim Garlow's church in San Diego, California. I'm speaking of Skyline Church, and we're going to be talking about fatherhood. We'll talk a lot about fathers and talk about the strong-willed child and about adolescence and the de-parenting experience and bringing up girls and bringing up boys. There's eight of these messages, two per night, over two weekends. The title of this series is Building a Family Legacy. And I'm sure some of our listeners will remember that my first film series was recorded and released in 1978 and 1979. And that series was seen by 80 million people. It was sort of the beginning of my ministry. I'd been writing before that and speaking, but that's really where it caught fire. And 80 million people saw that series in the next decade or so. Well, this is the second bookend that comes maybe near the end.
Don't say that.
but that's what we're going to be doing.
That's right.
And it's a very simple thing for people to come. It doesn't cost anything. I mean, the price is right.
It is.
But you do need to make reservations, and you can do that online. Explain how.
Well, the easiest, Doctor, is simply to go to our website, drjamesdobson.org. You will see the banner for Building a Family Legacy right there on the front page.
Well, Dad, I wasn't part of the first 80 million to see it, but I was part of a new generation to see that, which is kind of why we're remastering some of the originals, and you're doing some new ones. It was so helpful to me as a parent. great, and I cannot wait for a brand new audience to receive that kind of help in their parenting days right now. You can register online at drjamesdobson.org, or you can call us for more information. Our phone number is 877-732-6825.
Ryan, the idea of recording another series, this one by DVD, the first one was on video.
First one was on film.
First one was on film and turned into a video.
So many listeners don't even know what we're talking about.
Film, right.
Yeah. We're going to give them a cassette to go with it.
But you called me and said, we've got to do this.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's going to be fantastic. People will really be blessed by it.
Again, all of you, we invite you to join us in San Diego, California. That's beginning next weekend, June 22nd. For all the details, go to drjamesdobson.org. Thanks so much for joining us today, and do return tomorrow as we will hear the conclusion of Josh McDowell's message on fatherhood right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.